Luke chapter 4 and verse 17. Luke chapter 4 and verse 17. Before we read, I just want to set the scene for this. This was shortly after Jesus had been baptized and had just been tempted of the devil. It was at the beginning of his ministry, and he went into his hometown on the Saturday, on the day of the Sabbath, and they handed him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And I want to actually turn to the book of Isaiah and read what Jesus read. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. The Bible said he stopped there and he put down the book, and all eyes were upon him. He was at the start of his 3.5 year ministry, and he declared his mission statement: to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you one more time for your word. We ask you to anoint it, let it go forth, oh God, with power, Lord God, with understanding, and that the hearers will be edified. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, shake their hand, and say, I'm glad I'm here. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. I'm going to try and make sure you get out, because I know Easter Sunday is a very special time. But just if you could give me a little time. In the Sunday school class, we talked about the whole Easter story. And it's probably one of the most well-known parts of the Bible. Many plays, many churches have reproduced this story. There have been many films that have showed the Easter story. It starts out with Jesus in the upper room, maybe, at the table with his 12 disciples, and him participating of the Passover meal, of him taking the bread, dipping it in the gravy, and giving it to Judas. Then him taking off his outer garment and washing his disciples' feet. Then he does the communion as we have just done. And they sang a hymn. Then they all go out to the garden. You've seen many plays. You've seen many movies that tell this story just this way. And we talk about the garden experience when he's by himself and he's facing torture. He's facing what only he really knows is going to happen. He knows exactly what's going to happen, that his friend Judas is going to come and kiss him and betray him. And he knows he's going to be hauled off before Pilate. Then they're going to start abusing him, tearing out his beard, striking him, spitting on him. And he's in the garden and praying. But as I've said many times, I don't really even believe those were the things that he was trying to avoid. But I've always believed what he was trying to avoid was the feeling that he had never, ever experienced. That was guilt. Because he was sinless. But at that point, he knew that he was going to have to face feeling like a rapist, like a murderer, like a child molester. Because he died for all the sins of the world. But not just one person's sin, but every single sin that would ever be committed or was committed. That was the agony as he knelt in the garden. He who knew no sin was going to become sin. The amazing thing about this is that this was all the plan of God. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, it says this, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when he shall make his soul an offering for sin." This was all God's plan. And we may ask why, but when you are feeling down, when you're feeling sad, when you're feeling hard done by, when you're in a situation, don't say, "He doesn't understand." It's you that don't understand. It's me that don't understand. And many Easter plays portray this scene of him being arrested and then hauled off and standing before Pilate and then them starting to beat on him and kick him. I don't even think the gospel stories even give the depth of it. That wasn't enough. Then they hauled him before Pilate. And the soldiers were giving him over to plait a crown of thorns and press it into his head as far as it would go so that the blood ran down. And then, of course, you know, Pilate was wanting to release him, but he thought, well, if I brutalize him enough, maybe they will give up and let him go. So he turned him over to the Roman soldiers to have fun with. And they went away and got a purple robe and the thorns and the whip, which had metal pieces and bone in it, and started to wail on his back. And you've seen those pictures. And you've probably seen the next part in the movies and in plays where he's then taken all the way to Golgotha. And they lay him on his back and start to nail the nails into his hand. And the crowd that just some days before was saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," some of those same people are now saying, "Crucify him." We've all seen those parts of the movie before. And then you have him on the cross saying those words as he feels all that sin, all the stuff that we don't want to look at, the stuff we don't want to deal with, the mess that's in this world today, the people who are getting tortured and killed and shot at, all of the butchers and the Hitlers and the rapists, all of that getting put on him at that instant. The Bible said he was so disfigured, they couldn't recognize him. He had to come to the place like all of us at some point where we say, "God, why have you left me alone? Why have you forsaken me?" He had to get to that point to feel that, so that, as the scripture says, we have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. And then finally, at 3:00, he uttered his last words. Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." The torture, the horror, all of that, in most of the plays and in the movies, the next scene is the happy scene. It's the great scene. It's Sunday morning, and we see Mary, and we see the other disciples come into the tomb thinking that he's still dead. But instead, as we read in Sunday school, the stone had been rolled away. Not to let him out, but to let us in. Oh, he didn't need any help. He said, "I lay down my life and I pick it back up again." He didn't need anyone to release the stone. The angel came just to so that they could see he wasn't there anymore. And then usually the movies end with this scene. They have the last scene of him after the resurrection, starting in Luke 24 and 49. And as we see Jesus on the Mount of Olives speaking for the last time in a physical, bodily form mostly to his disciples. And he says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, wait ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Then he led them as far out as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands. and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And usually that's where the play and the movie ends. But they've left out a big scene. Someone edited the program. And today I want to tell you about part of the movie you probably haven't heard too much about. Because there's a whole scene that is missing that I want to tell you about today. And it's almost the most important part. But the title of my message today is The Prison Fight. The Prison Fight. The Prison Fight. Because when he died, between him dying and raising again, there were 3 days. There is a whole scene that is not normally shown in the movie of what happened. And I'm just going to call it the prison fight. Though it really wasn't much of a fight. The Bible tells us that when Jesus came, he came for one reason, so that he could die. The reason he came to die was so that he could go to the place of the grave and have a fight. A prison fight. Because the grave was a prison. Satan has many of us bound today. He has many of you in prison. Jesus came to start a prison fight. Jesus came to have a jailbreak out. Jesus came to deliver you from some of the things that are binding you up. That's what's been missing from these movies. The first time he did it was on the cross, as soon as he said, "It is finished." And the veil tore in two. And he said, "Father, into thy hands commend my spirit." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You know, he was going somewhere. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it just gives us a little brief outline of what happened. He went to the grave and there was a prison fight. And the Bible says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He went down to the grave, and as I said, it really wasn't much of a fight. But he delivered all of those that had been bound and captive and taken by Satan. Now, the King James doesn't really bring it out, so I'm going to read it in 4 different verses because I want you to get this scene that hasn't been shown in movies. In the New English Translation, it says, "Disarming the rulers and authorities. He made a public disgrace of them." He made a public disgrace of Satan, triumphing over them by the cross. Do you understand what this scripture is saying? God's words in translation said, he stripped the rulers and authority of their power. Do you understand what that means? Satan has no power. He cannot take you prisoner. He cannot keep you bound. He cannot keep you locked up. Because there was a prison fight 2,000 years ago. In the New Living Translation, it puts it this way. He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. That's the part of the movie that's been missing. We don't see the fight in hell. As I said, it wasn't much of a fight because he just gave commands and they had to obey. The penalty for sin was paid. There was nothing Satan could do. There was nothing he could put up. There was no defense he had. He had to release the prisoners. Do you remember what I read in Isaiah 61? He said to set at liberty them that were bound, to release the prisoners. He told Satan 3.5 years in the beginning what he was going to do, what his job was. This is the part of the movie that's the most important, because when we die, we do not go to the prison. Hallelujah, we don't go down there. In Isaiah 14, verse 17, the scripture puts Satan and tells what he was doing. He said, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners until Jesus came. See, that's the part of the movie that I want you to know is the most glorious, is the most triumphant. It's not even so much the resurrection, but is what he did during those 3.5 days. He took captivity captive. That's what he meant when he said it's finished. There was no more resistance. There was no more fight that Satan could put up because he had paid the price. He had absolved our sins. He had declared us, hallelujah, justified. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 tells the story. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, that just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Verse 19, by which he also went and preached unto the spirits in prison. That word preach there means proclaim. It wasn't so much a preaching, it was, you have to let my people go. If Satan has you tied up, it's because he's deceived you. The prison fight was 2,000 years ago, and I know who won. I know the winner of that fight. The Bible said he shamed Satan. He stripped him. He disarmed him. Now, if that scripture is true, you understand that for a child of the king, Satan has zero power over you. But he can lie to you. You know, you can open a prison door, but if someone won't walk out, they're still a prisoner. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by which he also went and proclaimed unto the spirits in prison. Let's go back to Luke 4:18. Let's read it again with more insight now. Here's Jesus 3.5 years before declaring what he had come to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. He had come to set them free. The recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. If you've been hurt today, if you've been battered today, if you've been destroyed today by Satan and his tricks, I want to tell you that Jesus paid the price. See, the resurrection message is that if you are in Christ, Satan has no power over you. There was a prison fight 2,000 years ago. And the scripture said he led captivity captive. He made an open show. Satan and his minions just had to stand back and let everyone who was the righteous dead on their way to heaven. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 says this, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same. He didn't stay as a spirit. He didn't stay as deity. He came as a man to suffer and die upon Calvary. That through death, here's the payoff. He might destroy him that had the power of death. Do you understand the prison fight was 2,000 years ago? He came to release the prisoners. That's the scene from the movie that's missing. All we see is the cross. Next we see the resurrection. But I hope someone will make a movie that shows what happened down there. You see, this was prophesied in the prophecy of the names we have. Even in Genesis, every name saying a message. Man, Adam, appointed, Seth, mortal, Kenan. But the blessed God, Mahalalel, Jared shall come down, Methuselah, his death shall bring, Lamech, the despairing, and the last name in the ten, Noah, comfort. This was predicted, that his death shall bring the despairing comfort. The prison fight is over. You may stand. You could stand with me. Do you understand that in the Old Testament, God modeled what he was going to do? Remember, the children of Israel were under bondage in Egypt. And he told Pharaoh to let his people go. But Pharaoh would not. And so we get the plagues. And the Bible says that the plagues on Egypt were not just on Pharaoh, but were on Pharaoh and his gods. Egypt represents bondage and sin and destruction and death. But on the 14th night at evening, they were told to kill the lamb. And they were to get dressed and eat standing up. Because this night, you're coming out of Egypt. The death of the firstborn is going to release you from the bondage of Egypt. Last scripture I'm going to read, Exodus 6:6. God told Moses this: "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord." And then he says, "Four I wills. I will bring you out." That's the first promise. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you of their bondage. That's redemption. I will redeem you with a stretched out hand. And the last one, which we are going to participate with, he says, I will take you from my people. During the Passover, there are four cups that are traditionally drank. The first cup represents that first I will. I will bring you out. That means separation. That means sanctification. The second cup is the cup of judgment. I will deliver you from bondage. Believe it or not, we drank today the third cup, which is the cup of redemption. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, after he had taken that cup and shared it, he said, I'm not going to drink the fourth cup with you right now. I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until we all drink in the kingdom of heaven. If you're a child of God today, you've been released from the prison. And you have the promise. You have the promise that you're going to get to drink the fourth cup with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I said last scripture, but this will be the last scripture. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. For those of you here today that have not drunk the cup, here's what Jesus says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup. Meaning he wants to drink that cup of deliverance, of sanctification, of redemption with you. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You know, it'd be so easy when we leave here to forget about all of this. By tomorrow, most of you will have. You'll be back doing your normal busyness and forgetting until next Easter what this is all about. But next Easter is not promised to any of us. Next Easter is not promised to any of us. Just remember, Jesus had a prison fight for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The great news is this today. His blood that was shed and the water that came out signifies a covering for the soul. And in the water baptism, a covering for the body. And we're today going to celebrate a death of the old man and a resurrection of the new. Hallelujah. These altars are open. We're going to pray. We're going to close this part of the service. Invite all of you who would like to stay for our baptismal service, if you could stay. But if not, remember this. Jesus wants to come and have that cup with you. Hallelujah. Because he fought a prison fight to release you from death. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you right now for your goodness and your grace, your love and your mercy. Lord, that you would come, hallelujah, and wash your disciples' feet and go to the cross and suffer pain and agony, hallelujah, and death. But you fought a fight so that we, hallelujah, should live and not die. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, as we even go before you today to baptize and to take on your name in water baptism, Lord, we ask for your blessing and your covering over those who have decided that they want you to come in, hallelujah, and have that cup with them. Lord, we pray for those at the altar, those in the audience today that have not made a commitment, Lord, we ask you to open their hearts that they will see how much you love them, how much you died to release them from the prisoner of Satan. We thank you today, hallelujah.